Well, we want to welcome you back to the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor and senior citizens pastor at Brookside. And in the studio this morning is Brother Dieter Stolpe. And Dieter, it's certainly a joy to have you here with us. I've asked Dieter if he would share with us what the Lord has been doing in his life, and it starts, man, Dieter, a long time ago, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It was way back in the 1956. I was born in Germany, and at that time, they were just kind of breaking up Germany into two parts.
Uh-huh.
I was born on the east side, so our parents had to depart really quickly before I became fully communist.
Now, you were 6 years old at the time, but it was probably kind of an unsafe thing to really tell you at that early age what was going on, and so consequently, they probably had to kind of deceive you while they were also trying to deceive the communist officials in Eastern Germany.
That's correct. In fact, because of that, I almost got my mother a little bit in trouble with that, because when we were on a train, we were heading towards wherever we were going. She didn't tell us anything about the,
sure,
trip at all.
Right.
And all she said to me was that we were going to our aunt's house and that we would be shortly getting there. And a little smart-aleck little six-year-old all of a sudden decided to say, well, Mom, this isn't the way to my aunt's house.
Not the right direction, huh?
Not the right, and she's kind of telling me, you know, to kind of hush up a little bit, and I kept bringing it up, and finally she got me to say, I'll tell you where we're going after we get there, and I'll explain it all to you, and so
okay,
I got my mouth shut.
Okay. So at the age of six, everything changed. I imagine the idea of leaving all your toys and friends and home and everything else. What was that like when you finally realized that never again were you going to be going back to what you would normally call your childhood home?
You know, when I think of those days here, it was so confusing. Things were happening so quick like that. You didn't really have a lot of time to think about it because there was so much happening. My father basically had to just close the house up, put the curtains down, you know.
Right.
Pack a few things in the bag, and then he had to take some pictures, and basically he had to leave on his own by himself, because at that time having a family together, it looked suspicious, more or less. So
it looked like you were trying to escape.
Right.
Okay.
So, you know, you're packing up your family and you're leaving, and that was not a good thing. So he left before my mom did.
Mm-hmm. So the idea was that once you got across the border, then you would have a place that you would then meet up again with your dad.
Right. Well, the situation kind of accelerated a little bit, because once that happened, when we were over the border, there were so many people at that time fleeing East Germany,
okay,
to get over to the west side.
Sure.
That they put us in a refugee kind of camp.
Yeah.
Like that deal. And I got sick in there, and they kind of had to separate me. So at 6 years old, they separated me from my family, and I had to basically live in like a boot camp kind of a situation where there was wire between people. And I remember my aunt standing on the other side of the wire. She came later on, and they had to go through the camp too, and with tears in her eyes, because she saw this little six-year-old boy just standing there without their parents. And this went on for about, I'd say, between 4 and 6 months that I was all by myself. You know, when you get in a kind of a group like that with people, you find the bad people around all
right,
over you.
Right.
And they kind of made a mockery of this little boy being all by himself like that. So they put me like on top of the bunk, where I had to climb on top of the bunk to go to sleep all the time, so they could laugh how I had to struggle to get up there.
Okay.
And they would steal food from me that I had stored in the locker. Like,
okay,
that. You know, they did all kinds of weird things like that.
So bullying, basically.
Yeah, basically that's what's coming down to.
So then after 4 to 6 months, you got well enough that you could be reunited with your family?
Yes. Then I got out of there, and we got reunited, and my sister got sick. They put her in the hospital, but she didn't have to stay quite so long. I think it was maybe between 1 or 2 weeks that she was in the hospital, and then we finally got back on track to go.
Mm-hmm.
But when we finally had to start going there, we must have took every transportation that you could imagine to get to the United States.
Wow.
We started from trains, we went to boats, we went to ships, airplanes, you name it, and finally, when we got out of Germany, we landed not in New York, but in Canada. We came to Canada and stuff
like
that.
Okay.
A lot of people always think that people came to that way, but not in this situation.
Right.
And the reason that we came through things like that is people had to be sponsored, more or less, to come over here. You couldn't just come to this country and say, I'm going to live in this country.
Right.
You had to be able to support your family.
For sure.
And so there was a German society at that time that was around that kind of sponsored immigrants that were coming from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my aunts was in that, my aunt Anna, and another one that we called Dante Lily, but I don't think she was actually a relative of ours, but she's the main person that sponsored our family.
And were they living here in Wisconsin?
They were living here in Wisconsin.
Okay.
That's how we got here.
Yeah. And, of course, there's a tremendous German constituency here in the Milwaukee area.
Right.
Now, all you knew to speak then was German.
Right.
So where did you learn English?
Well, that's a story in itself, because once we came here to the United States, I wasn't able to go to school right away because of getting settled and everything.
Sure.
Like that. And so I was kind of about a year behind in school in the first place.
Okay.
The only thing that helped me when I was put in kindergarten was that the teacher that I had for kindergarten, she knew how to speak German.
So wow.
She helped me a little bit with that. But for some reason, it took me a longer period of time to learn the language,
right,
plus what they were trying to teach me.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did is basically passed me on from one grade to the next, and I was getting further and further behind.
Wow.
So by the time I got to high school, I basically was lost. And I had no clue when the teacher was talking to me. People see these scenes where boys laying his head on a table and sleeping all the time. It wasn't because I was trying to be rebellious, but I was so bored because I couldn't keep up with anything there.
Right.
And I couldn't learn nothing, so I just didn't want to be around that kind of a situation there.
That would be embarrassing, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Not to be able to answer questions publicly like many others did. And not wanting to be embarrassed, you just wanted to kind of hide.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that's why I think is one of the reasons I became a little bit shy around people.
Sure.
I didn't want
yeah.
to have much to do with people as much as I could.
Okay. Now, were there any family members going to church at this time?
No. We had some problems with the Lutheran Church in Germany, and they had a little bit of a falling out, so they didn't really go to church.
No, I see.
We went to church for weddings and funerals and stuff like that.
Sure, yeah.
But other than that, we really didn't have any contact with any kind of religious organization.
Okay. So did you even know any Christians in your school or anything along that line?
No, there was nothing. I was kind of a lull in my life at that time.
Yeah.
From about, I'd say, time we got here when I was 6 years old to about time I got married, because that's when I finally kind of got into religion, only because of my wife, and I turned Catholic at that time.
Okay, okay. So just a void, you know, had there been something like a child evangelism club in your school or something like that, that could have been an outreach,
mm-hmm.
you know, to touch your life.
Right.
I know we have some folks in our church that are involved in CEF clubs in the public schools, and man, what an opportunity.
Right,
for
right.
For those kids whose parents don't go to church ever, you know, and so it does give them some kind of a contact with the Bible, with the Lord.
Yeah, and you know, when you're coming in from a situation like that, and we were a group of boys around there, and my parents had to work a lot,
okay.
So they weren't able to stay home.
Right.
And when you got like about six boys together, you know, they're all by themselves.
Oh, my.
You can get yourself in big trouble like that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the situation where I almost died. I think I was about 9 years old. The boys were playing around up by my dad's house, and he had a closet where he kept whiskey bottles and stuff like that in,
mm-hmm.
in there. And we got into that, and we started drinking a little bit out of them. And they went away, and I stayed. So I started drinking a lot of that stuff in there. And I think what I was told at that time, I almost drank like a whole bottle by myself.
Wow.
So we started talking, and we decided that we wanted to go play baseball. So we started walking block and a half away from the school ground where
mm-hmm.
we played.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I got to the school ground, I just passed out completely.
Wow.
I was gone. And they ran home to get my uncle, Hans, and he came running over to the school ground and picked me up and took me to the hospital. And they basically told them that if they would have got there 3 or 4 minutes later, I probably would have died from alcohol poisoning.
And what age?
This was about 9 years old.
My goodness.
So that was my first experience kind of with alcohol.
Yeah.
I didn't really use a whole lot after that no more. That's the first time my father ever not punished me. He must have thought that I got enough punishment because
yeah,
I had a
probably.
Headache for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, that's a major punishment.
Yeah, so.
A headache for two. That's what you call a hangover.
Yeah, that was.
My goodness.
So from that on there, I didn't really do much of the alcohol until I got a little bit more to the age of where we could drink like that. And
right.
It kind of, for a while there, got a little bit out of hand.
So you met your wife. Now, were you still in high school when you met her?
Yes, actually, I was at a job called Milner's Bakery. I was driving a truck there, delivering the bakery and stuff like that. And that's about the time I met my wife. That's kind of a funny kind of a story there. She's got to be a saint because what in the world she was thinking about coming with me is
wow.
Beyond me. There was a situation where I broke up with this girl that she really didn't care too much for me, and I kind of felt kind of bad. And one of my friends that I was working with there, he decided that he wanted to bring some vodka and then put it in orange juice, and I started drinking that, and I got pretty plowed. And I got not to the point where I passed out or anything like that, but I was pretty obnoxious in that.
Sure.
And they finally took me out of there, and we were driving in the car, and my future wife came to sit in the back. And for some reason, being in the situation I was, I turned around and looked at her, and I said, Sylvia, I love you, and I want to marry you.
Ooh.
And that's how we got to know each other. We started going out that way.
My goodness. Okay.
So after that, we just started going out together, but the more that we spent time together, the more we knew that we were going to be married.
Now, when did you drop out of high school?
That was in 1969, just shortly thereafter I told them that I just couldn't handle being in school.
Right,
anymore.
Right. Okay. Well, our time has quickly come to an end here, but I certainly want to pick up this story because from the sounds of it, you had no influence for God, but today you have a life that is just so changed. You want to tell people all about the Lord. Something drastic, excitingly drastic, happened. And so the next time we get together, we certainly want to hear the rest of this story of how a miraculous God brought about a miraculous conversion in your life. And so, folks, I trust that you'll join us for the next time to be able to see how God can take someone who has no contact with him and bring him into contact that totally changes his life. And what he did for Dieter, he can do for you, my friend. Turn to Christ. Turn to him today. God bless you.